quick recap. As I said before, autonomous agents have three main aspects that we are discussing. One is representing the actions that an agent can do and how those actions impact the environment. That's one aspect. The second aspect is how do we represent the goal or directives. And the third aspect is the architecture or the control structure of the agent. And then of course you have to link all these three. So far what we have been doing is so far we were focusing on the first one, representing and reasoning about its actions and environment. We had a little bit of this goal that Ji Cheng presented when I was not here. Okay. So what we did was we kind of take the very simplest language A0 and we went all the way possible. We started with the simple syntax, then the semantics, and then discussed what are the various kinds of questions that one can ask in A0, and then how complex they are, and then instead of writing specific algorithms for the NP complete and the problems, we discuss how we can formulate it as a problem in propositional logic. So we give a translation of that. Okay. So we kind of went all the steps. Now when we discuss, we won't go into that much detail, so we will kind of introduce the ideas and we won't have time to go into that much detail. So the first step after that is what we had was a very, very simple language. So the fluence or the properties or the objects in the world are related to each other. We kind of assumed that there was no direct relation, or we didn't have to worry about those relations, that the user will provide us that relation. So for example, in the suiting example, suppose there's another property called dead. Okay, so dead and alive are two different things. They are actually one is the opposite of another. In this case, they're simple, but there could be connections between various properties of the world. But we can start with the simplest one. So say we have this relation between dead and alive. So the relation between dead and alive is dead is if and only if not alive. Okay. So now, suppose I would ask a question about if the turkey is dead instead of turkey alive. I will ask about dead, and I, as a questioner, I do not know the relationship, so I cannot change my question from one to another. I do not know the relationship between the various properties, so I'm asking questions about dead and alive. So I would like somehow the domain to have that information about relating dead and alive. So one way is in A0 that I can do is I will just compile that information. I know that dead and alive are opposite. So what I could see is write is if I write say initially alive, then I will also write initially not dead. Okay, and if I have this suit causes not alive if loaded, I'll also add suit causes dead if loaded. So that's one way to do it. Another way is to keep what we had before and just somehow relate the just say that okay, dead if and only if not alive. Now if we want to do the second approach, then of course that's not part of A0 syntax, so we have to introduce a new syntax to be able to say that. So this new syntax is of the form always and a propositional formula phi. Okay. So we'll see what happens. So these are all things. We had load causes loaded. We had suit causes not alive if loaded. Initially not loaded. Initially alive. Now we added this always dead if and only if not alive. So we just took A0 and just added one more thing is to the D part, always some kind of formula. Okay. So what this is saying that in all, so the intuitive meaning of this is in all states, all valid states, this phi formula should be satisfied. Okay. So the syntax addition to A0, the syntax is just one line, very simple. But let's see what impact it has on the semantics. Okay? So the semantics of the meaning of a description is... So what do I mean by semantics? If you remember, the semantics had initial state and the transition function. That was kind of defining the model, and using these two we are able to answer questions about if some DO, let's ignore O prime for a minute, can entails say F after some sequence of actions. Right? So when I say semantics, semantics means basically defining this. Means defining this, and to define that we need to define this and this, right? Define the model. Okay. Okay. So if we have this, so does anything change about our initial state? The old definitions that we had about initial state, do we need to worry about any changes there? So let's look at this example that we have there. So what would be the initial state for this representation? In our previous case, it was just alive, right? Yeah. Our question is, if I have this domain D and this observation, what will be my initial state? So if I were writing everything, all the details, it would be, I mean, I'm representing by just what is true, then in that case it was alive. And actually, you don't see the difference, but when you write the whole thing, then it's like alive and say not loaded. So this is what we had before, while in this case we'll have alive, not loaded, and not dead. Okay? If we are representing only the positive part, they look the same. But now the domain has increased. So before, it was simple. It's basically saying whatever is initially not loaded, so it should match. Alive, it should match here. So now that we have not alive and not loaded, but we have this not dead part. Right? So how did we add this part? Let me remind you what we defined before. So we said a particular state is an initial state if it satisfied all the statement about initial. Okay, and sometimes if we have incomplete information, there could be multiple initial states. Right? So now, give me a new definition of what would be an initial state when we have that always phi in our language. What's the better way of saying that? Because it says always phi, so there is no implications. It's a formula there. In this example, it happens to have if and only if, but it's some formula phi, right? Propositional formula. Now we know what propositional formulas are. So. Tell the whole sentence. A state is an initial state if, or okay. if it's true in that state. Okay. Okay. For every? Okay. So, what you want to say is an initial state is a state that satisfies the formula phi, and then whatever we had before. So it has to satisfy the formula phi. So that's what he said, and that's the correct thing. It has to satisfy whatever this formula phi says. And if in most cases you will have one statement always, because you can put everything together. If we are talking of proportional theory, so if it is always phi, then whatever phi is formula is, then the state must satisfy that. Plus, it must satisfy whatever initially we say, it must satisfy those. Okay? So that one is the easy part. So we kind of have an idea how to go about the initially. So now, how do we define the transition function? Okay? So we want to define phi d given a state. So what would we write before? Yeah, action and action and the SD. So we need to define this. Okay. So before we go there, let's look at this first part of this slide, next slide. So this with always, so now it's no longer, this is no longer deterministic. So I can say, for example, always, I mean, say head or tails, or if you toss implies head or tails. If you have tossed a coin, this implies that either head will be true or tails will be true. And now if you have an action toss, which causes toss to be true, then that means one of head or tails would be true. Okay, that's a circle thing, that's the X or symbol. Weekend was people start forgetting. Everybody has a blank look today. We have all go for some trip and came back tired or something. So what we are doing means we want to represent a domain, right? And previously we just had simple an action causes something to be true if certain conditions are true. That's all we had before. But in the world, means we were talking about the action part, but we did not talk anything about relationship between things. I mean, there are things, there is some a glass inside, something inside, there are things related to each other. And we need to know that those relations to make things, to make representation better. And our quest has been to make a better representation, natural representation. Because we could have had the table of state, action, and the next state. We did not do that because that is exponential. So similarly, if there are properties in the world which are related to each other, we don't want to compile them into action. We just want to say that they are related and give the relationship and let the semantics figure out how to put them together. So that's what we are trying to do, is to A, we are adding the relation between, we're saying that okay, there are all these properties and always this connection between these properties is true. That's what phi is. So our goal is now, once we define the syntax, next is to define the semantics, that means what is sigma 0 phi d, and based on that we can define the entailment. Now in any of this further, we are going to stop after semantics. We are not going to go into the algorithms or the complexity, because they all will take similar amount of time. So once you understand semantics, I will kind of assume that you will be able to figure out the complexity by reading the appropriate paper. But so we need to figure out the semantics first. Okay? So now that we have this language, so we discussed the sigma 0 part, is not very complicated. And next question is, how do we define phi d? Okay. So if you remember, the previously phi d, I gave you two different definitions. One was about one saying that okay, phi d is sigma union the positive effect, okay, E A plus and minus the negative effect, right? Assuming that this is a consistent description. Yes. Another, I said that something belongs to this. If it is a positive thing, it must belong this. If it is a negative thing, it must belong to this, right? And in addition, the remaining is what did not change. So now how do we define, how do we approach this? So let me see if I have an example. So let's see how an example, and then we'll figure that out. So suppose the axon is suit, and the state is sigma is alive and loaded. Okay. So alive, loaded, and means that not dead. And we do this axon of suit. So what should we get? Sigma. So phi d. The suit and the sigma. What would be the set we should get after suiting? Okay, we should get dead and loaded. Okay. So dead and loaded. So let's see, I mean, this is an example, and maybe that will give us a clue how to define this. So the effect of positive effect of suit is, the positive effect of suit, is there any positive effect of suit? Suit causes dead, maybe? But we don't have suit causes dead. Our description just says suit causes not alive if loaded. So suit does not have any direct positive effect. Suit does have a negative effect. Suit has a negative effect, which is alive, should be taken out. So the direct effect, positive and negative. Positive, there is no direct effect. Negative, they are saying that okay, alive should no longer be true. So what you want to do is take out alive from here to get here. Okay? But now somehow you have to add the dead, which is the indirect effect of not having a life. So the point is, how do I go from here to here? From the mechanism that we have known, from whatever you have, you can think of, how do I go from there to there by doing this act? Let's make it more precise. So what you're saying is, I have sigma, okay? So I have sigma, and what you're saying, so I should, so I have sigma, and I have EA plus and EA minus. So tell me what I should do. sigma was my initial state, and this is the, if I do this action in the sigma, these are the things that must be true and these are the things that must be false. Say it again. Oh, that's part of the outer domain, that's part in, that's in D. Okay, that's there, that's in the background. You can use them. Using that, we have defined E, positive and negative. So here, for example, the positive effect, direct effect of truth is nothing, but negative effect is alive should become false. So what happens is I can take out alive and I get, so I will get just loaded, and somehow I have to add this dead part. And I'm trying to see what kind of mechanism one can use to get this dead part. And you suggested some, but not very precise. You said I should do this dead because not having alive somehow implies dead, so I should have it. Right? That's what you kind of said. So how do I kind of precisely say it? Okay. So let's say a full sentence. That means if I have sigma and I do an action A, the resulting state is a state which yeah, tell me after that. So satisfies all the always phi, and then do you want to say about anything about the positive and negative things? And then? No, when you take sigma and then you do add EA plus and remove EA minus, you get to something. And then what do? So you have to precise what does that mean, that using those you find a satisfying assignment. Okay.
For all the fluent,
I mean, we know for all, not only just for all of them, we know for everything, because some are true, some are false, so we know for all of them. Means what you initially said was almost correct, but there is. So what you initially said. So what you want to do is you have sigma, and you want to do the plus and remove the minus, but that might not get you to a valid state. A valid state is which satisfies all the phi, right? So you have this thing which is not quite valid. So you want to somehow make it valid, right? Okay. Okay. Do what? Wait, study. With what interpretation? But there are many interpretations that satisfy phi.
Yeah, and pick the
conditional. Pick the. There might be many. Possible. Okay. Let me tell you something with that one, then you'll get an idea. You might get the idea. So when I said phi dA sigma, originally was sigma union EA plus minus EA minus, right? So or if you go back to the original definition, what was the thing? It should, EA plus should be positive, right? Means has to be true. EA minus has to be false. Right? Beyond this, nothing else changes. Right? So the concept is that when you are moving from, if you do an action, things change that are forced. Otherwise, things remain unchanged. In other words, you are minimizing the change. Okay? So you can use the same idea that, okay, we have a state sigma, and we are doing an action A, so the positive things must be true, the negative things must be false, the resulting state must satisfy phi, and the difference between the original and the resulting state should be as little as possible. So these are kind of the four, that you had three conditions and you just added one. Okay? I mean, that's not as precise or not as nice as this, but those are the conditions you need to add, and we'll see where that gets us. So the four conditions are, one, EA plus must be true in the resulting state. Two, EA minus must be false. So these are direct effects in the resulting state. Three, the resulting state must be valid. Valid means to satisfy phi. So the resulting state must satisfy phi. That means it's always phi. Four, the resulting state must differ as little as possible. Differs from sigma as little as possible. And previously we had this and this condition, and because it was simple, it just became this, because it has to be satisfied and it must be false, and it says the resulting state differs as little as possible. So basically you said, okay, I will just add this, remove this, and otherwise you don't differ anything else. But now we have this third condition that the resulting state must satisfy phi, and that makes it it doesn't make this as simple as this one. But we'll get to what is not clear here is, this is very mathematical, you can write this, must be true, it's a sub, I mean, mathematically each of these is the first two are easy to write. So this one says that mathematically this will be, say, EA plus is a subset of, say, let me call this sigma prime, okay, or, and then EA minus intersection sigma prime is empty, doesn't appear. And third one is empty, this way. Sigma prime satisfy phi. So these three are very precise, can be precisely written. The question is, the resulting state differs from sigma as little as possible. Is something we have to flush it out. We have to make it clear what it means. Okay. So now you might appreciate why, when I define the semantics of sigmas A0, I initially gave these three things. Instead of just writing this, which is of course simple, I wrote these three things, and then later said these three things relate to this. Because that allows us to jump into this situation and say, okay, these three plus one more. Although that is much more complicated than just writing that. Okay. So, I mean, in the big picture, what we are trying is trying to go from what someone thinks or how we write to the mathematics. So we might write things like this, we might think like this, but when we start writing programs, we have to get to the level of what is the transition, what happens after I do this. Okay. When we write things, we say, okay, yeah, load will cause loaded, suit will cause not alive, and dead and not alive are opposite, dead and alive are opposite of each other. I mean, that's how you'll write it. And then someone asks, okay, what happens if you are is alive and loaded and you suit? I say, okay, it will be dead and loaded. The question is, how did you get it? So that's what we're trying to answer. How did we get it? It's intuitive, but how did we get it? And AI is, in some sense, many of these intuitions of reasoning we have to formalize. Many times we don't think about it, we just do it. But what is thinking about introspecting that intuition and then formalizing it and then implementing it is part of the task of AI. How do we did that? I mean, you ask anyone, they will give you that answer, but how did they come up with it? And we now know the principles, and three of the first three we were able to write mathematically. So the fourth one is, we're saying the resulting state differs from the initial state as little as possible. So that means we have to define a notion of difference between two states and when one is closer to another. So what we want to define is so we want to define, so this is sigma, and this is say sigma 1, and we want to sigma 2. So somehow we want to define that sigma 1 is closer to sigma than sigma 2 is to sigma. Or we need to know that what is it, how do we say that one is closer to another? Because here it says the resulting state differs from as little as possible, or is closest, is closest to sigma, or is in some sense. So how do we define, so in other words, how do we define the closeness between two states, or the difference between two states? Okay, so there, overlap would say how close, one definition of there, how close they are. Yeah. Okay, so let me, so if we use overlap, let me erase this. So we can say the sigma 1 is closer to sigma than sigma 2 if sigma 1 intersection sigma is say bigger than sigma 1 intersection sigma 2 intersection sigma. Is it do you want to do size, or we want to it's closer, right? So that means it has, so you might want to say, you want to say sigma 1 intersection sigma, the size is greater than sigma 2 intersection sigma. Greater than. That's the definition. So when you were, so that text us, when you were doing research I mean, if you come to this, then you have choices, and you would write someone, and this is one. And when you have multiple definitions, you can evaluate which one fits your intuition better. So I'm kind of going through the research process. You have written in English, then you do a little bit of mathematical representation, and there might be multiple ways of writing it. So here itself, there are two ways of doing it, just even in this definition. Okay. This one is a little more stricter. This one saying is exactly like, say I have sigma and sigma 1. Okay. So this one basically saying that the sigma 2 is like sigma 2 is something like, so this is sigma 2. In the sense that sigma 2, the commonality with sigma, is a subset of sigma 1 commonality with sigma. This is what I wrote. What you wrote is just, I'm not saying mine is better than yours, I'm just saying two different, here itself there are two representations, and this one just counts saying, okay, you do this, and you compare this set, and you compare this set, and see which one is bigger. This one? This is a, this is a subset of this, so this is a superset of this. That's what I meant. That's possible. So we are defining when sigma 1 is closer to sigma than sigma 2 is. Okay, so we are trying to see when can I say that sigma 1 is closer to sigma than sigma 2. Okay, so maybe your personal judgment. Like no, I don't necessarily, the numbers are I will give you example why numbers are happen is we will try to think of examples. Any other suggestions, thoughts? So tell me what you're saying. Sigma.
Sigma is
1, 2, 3, 4.
Sigma
1?
Sigma 1, 3, 4, 2,
okay, 5, 6. Okay. Sigma 2? 1, 2. Okay. No, so this one would say that sigma 2 is closer than sigma 1. Huh? You think they are equally close? No, if you do the number, you're saying by this number, okay? So by this number, they are the same, the intersection is same. Okay? But this actually reflects another thing, even if you don't have a number, even if you do the in general, what this, the commonality, it captures how much they're common, right? It does not capture how much they're different. I mean, one might have a lot, they might have a lot of common things, but they might have, so even if I have this, so this one is one example which says this is not good. So this one is about this. So another example you can have, the sigma is, say again, 1, 2, 3, 4, and sigma 1 is, say, 1, 2, 3, and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and sigma 2 is, say, just 1 and 2. Okay? So here the commonality is 1, 2, 3, the commonality here is 1, 2, but this has lots of other junk. So should this be, in my definition, or in this one should be closer, right? And not quite. Yes. No, divide. No. In general, the point is the intersection is one major, but we need to worry about what is the difference. It's not just the commonalities. I mean, when you're talking about minimal, we want to worry about how different they are, not just how common they are. Okay, we have to put the both things together. Okay? Yes. Oh, yeah. No. Their states are complete.
Well, then, for example, you can have like sigma 2, 1, 3, 4 is infinite. That means that sigma 2 then would be complete.
Huh? Sigma 2 would be what? No, everything else is false. So.
Yeah, but.
So why is it incomplete?
Why is it wrong then?
Why is it. Because that one, I mean, if you look at this too, if you start doing. Why is it what wrong?
Well, because then the problem is sigma 1, how different is sigma 1 from sigma
1? No. So here, if you take this measure, they are equally close, right?
Yeah.
And the intuition is that they are not equally close. That this one is more closer to sigma than this one is. Yeah, so because this one has lots and lots of different things which are not true here. So this one, in some sense, I mean, if you think of like 5, 6, 7, 8, all this infinite stuff, they're false here, they're false here. Right? So there is much more closeness between this and this than this. Yeah, so something like that would work. So, I think I will give away the answer. It's close. So basically, what you do is, you want to find out the difference between this. So sigma, so there is a notation like sigma prime, how different they are. So this is written as sigma minus sigma prime union sigma prime minus sigma. So in the picture thing, if this is sigma and this is sigma prime, then the difference between them is this part. And what you want to instead of maximizing the commonality, you want to minimize the difference between them. So this is what sigma minus sigma prime is this part, and sigma prime minus sigma is this part. So you want to say, okay, how much they differ? And you want to minimize that difference. And that's exactly what is done here. So let me show you the slide. So how to define the transition? Basically, it must be a valid state. So those are the dots. Sigma prime must be a valid state. And note that sigma union, the positive, this old thing that I had may not be a valid state, so we cannot use that. Just this has to be a valid state. All the positive things must be true. And all the negative things must be false, means whatever E minus, they cannot be in sigma prime. And then sigma prime must be as close to sigma as possible. So this is where closeness is defined. So sigma 1 is closer to sigma than sigma 2 is, okay? Then this is the difference between sigma 1 and sigma. Is sigma 1 minus sigma union sigma minus sigma 1, and this is a subset of the difference between sigma 2 and sigma. Sigma 2 minus sigma union sigma minus sigma 2. Okay. I mean this is less than equal to, so if you put the less than, then it's a strict subset. And so now this is a quite complicated definition. It says that the resulting state, and I put this set thing here, if you notice this notation set here, because the resulting phi a sigma may be a set of states. It's no longer a single state, it may be a set of states. So what are those states? Any state sigma prime where the positive things are true, the negative things are false, sigma prime is valid, and there doesn't exist some other sigma double prime which satisfies these conditions and which is closer to sigma than sigma prime is. That means it's as close as possible. Okay. So going from, and a big part of research is going from intuition to formal definition. That's the first step before you go and write your program. In many fields they go from intuition to directly to programs, but you should write your definition precisely first. And below that, then, since I played with it, I think you got the idea quickly. I hope you got the idea, right? What we are doing. And and what happens here in case of soot and alive example, I said positive effect is none, negative effect is alive. So when we do this sigma union E plus minus E minus, we just get alive loaded, and we throw out alive, we get loaded, and this is not valid state. So that doesn't work. But if we sigma prime that is dead and loaded is a valid state. It satisfies this part, the positive thing, this part, and there is actually nothing closer than that which will satisfy those conditions. So what you get is phi suit sigma is sigma prime, which is dead and loaded. And unfortunately, the fact that we don't have a constructive way of it takes the complexity higher. It's no longer polynomial in general to be able to even go from phi, just the transition is no longer funny polynomial. Yeah, it's possible that you cannot compare. So they are equally close. Yeah, both of them. So all I have done is actually just elaborated one extra condition that we had previous time was simple, but in this case it showed its color, is that the resulting state differs from sigma as little as possible. So to define as little as possible, we had to define how close are the difference between two states, and that difference is basically the set difference. So sigma and sigma prime, the difference between them is, as I showed in the picture, sigma minus sigma prime union sigma prime minus sigma, and we want to minimize that difference. And this is well tested, many after people trying different things, this is very well tested as little change as possible. Okay. So for a minor change in syntax, it is quite complicated, maybe quite complicated to get to the semantics. Okay. But in our mind, we always have this minimal change. So minimal change is a very important thing which appears in AI almost every place. And they call it different names, like there's some place called Occam's razor, you might have heard. There are all kinds of things that things as little should change as possible. We're always thinking, because there are too many possibilities. You think of, you left home and you came back, and you're always assuming that things as little change as possible. Because if you don't assume that, there are all kinds of things, there are too many possibilities, and then you can do nothing. You cannot do any kind of reasoning. So there's always assumption of there's minimal change that happens. Okay. So now that we did all this, so let's see if there are any trouble with this kind of theory. So that's the next slide, and it's a very interesting slide, a very interesting example. So this example, a colleague of mine, I think he first found, is Fan Zhen Lin. So the example is, you have a suitcase, okay? And this is a special suitcase, means it's not special, there are many suitcases, right? They have to be both, there are these levers or these things, you have to put them together up, then the suitcase will open. Okay? So now what happens? So it's basically saying that it's always up 1 and up 2 means that the suitcase is open. And you can flip the first one and it will become up 1 will be true. You can flip the other one, up 2 will be true. Okay? And I'm just using the shortcut, saying initially the suitcase is up 1 and not up 2 and not open. So let me erase all this and see what happens. So initially what we have is up 1 and not up 2 and not open. So what do you expect that if I do say flip 2 should happen? So if I do flip 2, then up 1 of course remains unchanged, and then it becomes up 2, and then it should be open, right? That's what your intuition, does everybody's intuition agree with this? Okay. Now, the interesting is, so what is our condition? Our condition is, so if we go back to our condition, our always. So this is what we wrote. Up 1 and up 2 implies not open, right? Implies open. Right? So now this is equivalent to, if you write in logic, okay? So what this means? This means not up 1 or not up 2 or open. A implies B means not A or B, and if you have not around this, then not up 1 or not up 2 are open. Yeah. So now I will do magic. So I will say not up 2 or open or not up 1. I mean, I just changed, flipped it. Nothing. I didn't do any. So now I would say, okay, I would say not up 2 and not open, okay, or not up 1. You see, it's basically I just put them inside, so this is not up 2 or open. You see the same, this and this are the same. So this means up 2 and not open implies not up one. Right? Not A or B is this implies this. Yes? So now, if you think of along those lines, so I flip two. So what is this flip two suit called? Flip two makes up two. Right? That is the thing has to be true. And the rest is minimal change. Because this is a positive effect, must be true in the resultant state. Right? And there is no negative effect, so it doesn't matter. The resulting state must satisfy phi. So if I do this, so I will have up two. Now, what if I consider, so this was up two, this became, instead of not up two, it's up two now, right? And up two and not open makes not up one, right? If I follow this thing. So up two, and I'll get not open and not up one. This is something which satisfies this formula, of course. Okay? It satisfies the formula. So it satisfies this. The positive part is true. It satisfies the phi. This is satisfies this. And the question is it closer? Between these, actually, by definition, they're equally close. Why is that? Because the difference between these two, if I do the difference between these two states, I would have this minus, the difference between these two is up two and open, and that's it. And the difference between these two is, so not open, not up one, so not open is there, up two and up one. Right? And they are not comparable. If you do the number, they are equal. If you do subset, they are not comparable. So this is not closer than this, or this is not closer than that. So what you mean is that if you do this thing, from this state, if you do this action, then either is possible. But clearly, from your experience, if something is flip one and you flip the other one, the suitcase opens. The other one does not get closed, right? I don't think you have seen a suitcase where once you flip, it means one part is on, up, and then you open the other one, it automatically gets closed. So this is fun. So what this says is, so this actually has very profound implications. The profound implication is that the relationship between objects in the world is not good, or the propositional logic is not a good language to express it. Because you can do that manipulation there. I mean, when I say that the suitcase up one and up two implies this, I mean, there is certain things I'm thinking, and the fact that I can get here, there is something missing in this, in the propositional logic, which does not allow me to express what I really want. Okay? And this is a good example of that. I gave you some other examples before about marrying and moving. I will come back to it later also. But so the profound implication is that propositional logic is not a good language to use inside is always phi. Or it's not a good language to relate objects in the world. Right, exactly. So the point is that propositional logic is not good at capturing causality, capturing the causal relation between objects. And the objects in the world have causal relations between them. I mean, the things I'm teaching actually means the first two, three slides was one paper. There was just one paper, and this is another paper where this is described. So all these are basically distilled from very important papers in the field that took years for people to write and come up with. I'm just getting the gist out of it in two slides, so that's why I'm taking time to explain it or motivate it. They all took time to write and come up with ideas. You said the word, right word, causality. So what we mean is that it's up one and up to cause it to open. It's not like implies, it's kind of cause the suitcase to get open. While if you think of it that way, then the other one is not true. Means it's not that if it is up to and not open, it will automatically cause the other switch to go become not up one, right? If you think of this implication as causality, then obviously this and this are not equivalent. If you think of like this, causes the suitcase to open, and then this is different from this, which says if the switch is one side is up to and it's not open, it will cause this to close. Obviously, if you start thinking this as a causes, then these two are not equivalent, and we have to be able to think in terms of causal relation between properties in the world. Oftentimes. Okay, so this is one slide. I hope you had enjoyed this. So now we move on. So the next step is what we're going to do is we are going to introduce, instead of this always phi, we say, okay, this is too general. We are going to introduce a causal connective. So the causal connective would be this one. Same causal step. The causal connective will be P1 to Pn causes F. In this case, because we have A causes, so to distinguish between the two causes, we'll just say S causes and statically causes. So there are actions which dynamically cause things, while these are static causal relation between the properties of the world. So S causes is statically causes. So we abandon this always. It was a good start, and then we move on saying, okay, it's not powerful enough, and we are going to use something, a causal formulation. Okay? So what do we do next? So now we have A0 plus this syntax, right? Huh? See? Define some idea. So it's one slide, but it's still quite difficult. So let's go through the intuition of what we should have. So we had these conditions before, and the conditions are actually equally similar, but a little more difficult to write. I mean, the positive thing must be true, the negative thing must be false, the resulting state must satisfy all the static causal laws. We call this static causal laws. And what does it mean by satisfying static causal laws? That means if this is true, then this must be true. Okay? And the difficulty is we have the same idea. The resulting set differs from sigma as little as possible. But formulating this is a little more difficult now. What? actually, there's a good challenge problem here, which I didn't think about before. The definition is quite involved, but we could define it using what we have and use this result if it must satisfy all the static causal laws and to see if what would be the problem if we do it that way. Okay. Yeah, so the question is, how do we formalize 4? That's okay. Yeah, that's the main question. So there is a fixed we would get to a fixed point definition. What I'm thinking about is that there is a definition which I have in the slide, which is normally used, and it's a little complicated. But I'm thinking now, as I look at it, we just use this definition that we have on the board. We define what it means by differing minimally, right? We already defined it, so why not use that? And my question is, would it be, I'm trying to think if some paper dealt with those two definitions and proved them equivalent or not. If not, that would be an interesting thing to try to prove. Okay. Because there is a definition on board. We already defined what it means to be differ sigma as little as possible. We already defined that, right? We defined the difference and we defined minimally. The only thing changed was instead of must satisfy 4, 5, it must satisfy all the static causal laws. And I'm trying to think, will that cause any problem? And I cannot come up with any problem. So our old definition that I gave with this is one possible definition. I do not know if it is the same or equivalent to the standard definition that is used. And the standard definition that is used is here. It's a little complicated. So here, so let me see why it is complicated. So the first thing when we get to this one is we now move from the state from having all the positive things to having positive and negative. We want to represent all of them. So maybe this will tell us why. So interpretation is a consistent set of fluent literals involving all the fluents. So we have all the positive and negative stuff in them. Now we don't write only the positive stuff. Okay. Now a set of fluent literals S is said to be closed or in some sense satisfied with respect to the set of static causal laws if for each static causal rule of the form P1 to Pn static causes F in R, if P1 to Pn is true, then F must be true. That's basically satisfying. They must satisfy all those. Now, the third one, the next bullet says, given a set of fluent literals S and a set of static causal rule R, so the closure of S with respect to R is the smallest set that contains S and that is closed with respect to R. So what you are saying is you start with something that are true and you keep adding as much as possible. I'm going to go over this many times. It's always hard to just read the bullet and then get things from there. And then the positive effects are very similar. I mean, the same as before, except that we now add all the positive and negative stuff together. And the last one is the tricky one. It's basically saying that, okay, I am starting from S and I'm doing an action A, and what is my S prime? And my next S prime is the state which satisfies the following condition, is that I look at S and S prime and what is common between them, so that's S intersection S prime. Then I look at all the positive effects of S, okay, and between these two I put them together, and then I say, okay, what are the consequences based on all the static causal rules, and I compute the whole thing, and then I say, is this equal to S prime that I started with? If it is, then S prime is a next state. Now this is a very complicated definition. And it's a good challenge to see if this definition is equivalent to the alternative that one, or at least the same thing with what I suggested here. I mean, these were all discussed 10 years back when the research was being done, and I cannot remember if why we went to something complicated and not something simpler that we talked about. Maybe there is some major difference there. I cannot remember now. But let me go over this individually, then you can think over it overnight. Okay? So what we are saying is, first a bullet is a static causal law, this is the syntax. Okay? Saying that P1 to Pn statically causes F. And the difference between static causes and causes is that action will cause something and that thing becomes true after the action is executed. Static causal law is the causal relation between objects at the same time. It's static, it's not dynamic. It's not that you do an action. It's the relation between the properties in the world. This thing makes this happen true. Okay. And so here before we had this interpretation, so different states were represented as what is true. We are not explaining what is false. We are not because we know these are true. Anything that is not in that set is false. So here in this definition, we have interpretations where we write what is true and what is false explicitly. That's what the second bullet says. The interpretation is a consistent set of fluent iterators involving all the fluents. Consistent means I cannot have F and not F. The first two bullets are easy to understand. The third bullet, also not hard, is saying a set of fluent literals S is said to be closed with respect to a set of static causal rules if all the rules of the form, if you have P1 to Pn static causes F, if this is a rule and P1 to Pn is true in S, then F must be true in S. Because causes, if P1 to Pn is there, then S must be there. Okay? So this third bullet is fine. The fourth bullet says, okay, so now that if we have a bunch of such rules, then there's a closure. That means we start with S and we keep adding such things. But we add only if it is necessary. That's why it says this, the closure. So given a set of fluent literals S and a set of static causal rules R, the closure of S with respect to R is the smallest set that contains S and that is closed with respect to R. That means you keep adding only what is necessary until you have satisfied all the R. But it's closed. You don't want to add extra stuff. So that's what consequences. The fifth bullet, okay, with time is there. So I'll just go over and then we'll think about it. The fifth bullet says the positive effects. Basically, now that we have both positive and negative, so there is no positive and plus and minus, it's just direct effect. EA plus means direct effect of A in state S, in some state where S is true, is all the F, so that A causes F if P1 to Pn is in the description, and P1 to Pn is true in this S, so F must be there. This is a direct effect. Okay? So now the last one defines the transistor and is saying phi of AS is all those sets S prime. If you take this S prime and you say, okay, what is the common between S prime and S? So whatever that common thing is, the core. And to that you add all the force direct effect of S. And then together with this, now you do the closure, because all those rules are there. The static causal rules are there. So you do the closure. And you say, okay, do I get back S prime? If all this gets back S prime, then that's the valid state. That's what should be the resulting state. And my question is to people to think about, is this equivalent to more simpler definition that here is that all the positive things, negative things, means we can use our old definition of state and say all the positive things must be true in the resulting state, all the negative must be false in the state, and the resulting state must satisfy all the static causal laws and must differ as little as possible. I mean, this one is easier to understand, and is these two equivalent? My guess is they're equivalent, but I'm forgetting if there is some problem. Okay? So think about this, and then we will go over this definition one more time and have more fun examples. It's really fun to think about all these examples, and you do the state and you do this, what happens next? Okay, so I will see you on Thursday. Strong in the sense,
yeah.
Because this is a little too strong. So you might want to, you were saying.
Representative size of these and.
Yeah, if you do the size of this, and this size is smaller than this. This definition says is that just because it's the size is smaller, it's not important. I cannot. Don't want to say that this is smaller.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the strongest.
Right.
But
yeah.
Which one is more intuitive, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
One other quick question.
Yeah.
We're talking about syntax and semantics. And,
uh-huh.
and I see the way that we use those and what
uh-huh.
things
cool.
we do at that stage. But just, my previous use of those words, syntax is typically the rules of
uh-huh.
the semantics of the meaning.
Uh-huh.
I want to see how that maps to what we.
No, syntax is. I mean, what you write, right? And semantics is our meaning in the sense. It gives the meaning of all these things. If you think of it, the meaning of this description and all these things is this, what is the initial state and what are the transitions. That's actually the meaning. Because once you know that, you can answer any other question. So in some sense, that is the core meaning of the syntax.
There it seems, I have to go back and think about this. It seems a little different than, that falls directly out of we can prove the semantics from the syntax, but ordinarily it's the usual use of the term syntax and semantics, separate notions.
Uh-huh.
You have I have to go home and look up it.
Okay, it'll be fun. Send me an email.
It's not necessarily
important. Yeah, that's fun to discuss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have a laptop or you have a laptop?
I have one, but I can't move it, so I can't
okay.
bring it.
Please just send me mail, then we can use my laptop.
Okay.
Thanks.
And the other thing was for a project, I was wondering if you've gone over NAND stuff on Icarus yet, because
okay.
I might want to do something in the same marketing.
Okay. You might try to also think of some things related to the natural language and might try that.
Well, the project I'm working on now is we're doing, it's a big project, but the chunk I've been doing this summer is incremental parsing on Icarus.
Actually, I was suggesting, since both of you are working in Icarus and one part of our course is about architecture, both of you maybe present Icarus together.
Oh,
one time.
Icarus?
To the class. No, not as a project, but
okay.
to the class.
Okay.
No, I told her before, so she knows that.
Yeah.
And but since you said now you.
Sure, I'll help.
Okay, so maybe next Monday, next Tuesday. Yeah, I don't want to tell it Thursday.
Yeah, I have
the slide. Send it to you. Huh? Yeah, she sent me the slide. So why don't you present it next Tuesday? Together, you can that way half do it, right?
Okay.
Do I as well? So we know one architecture, and then I'll talk about other architectures later in the class. You're experts, right? And I have read it also, but that way you can also, you present it and then you, by that next week, you think about what you want to, you can say one slide about this is what I would like to do in my project. And I might ask other people to actually similarly present, so it's not about their project some minutes.
Okay.
Okay?
So how long should
the I want to learn as much about recurrence as possible. The class wants to learn, so whatever amount you can present is fine, whole class is fine. I mean, how many slides do you have? How many slides do you have?
Not sure, about 15.
I mean, present all the information, important information about Ikra.
Yeah, but if we want to set all the details, then it would be.
I mean, within one class, I don't want to make it more than one class, so you can split between you. If it's less than one class, it's fine too. I mean, if it's 45 minutes, 1 hour. I just want to say that, I mean, if I say 30 minutes, then you leave out things. So I don't want you to leave out important things, that's all. Okay. But if it's 40 ends in 45 minutes, that's fine.
Okay.
Put it 45 to 1 hour. Yeah. So that, make it good. That's very simple.
Yeah,
that's very simple.
I know that's
simple. Prove that I talked about. If it's not proven, then if you prove it, then that will be a good project.
Yeah?
I don't remember. First look if it is proven. If it's not proven, then that is a good project.
Yeah, but how do I know if it's proven or not?
To check all the papers? I know how what to check. I can tell you the papers which you have to check. And you can ask in the email the people who should know. If this is proven, and if they say this is not listed, the Turner. Listed would know also. Vladimir would know, but the Turner would know. I should know actually. I have worked, but I have forgotten. Yeah, I can send the thing and you can ask Turner, and if it is not known, and. I mean, if you prove it, or this, I don't know. It's fine. Means I think. Just double check 1 week. I mean, if the disproof is so easy, then it's not a good one. So we should try, like anyone, 1 week, spend on trying to find out if it's proven or not. And if the people who were supposed to know do not know the answer immediately, then that's a good project. Right? If they know the answer immediately, then of course not. But otherwise, I'm just suggesting, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's just a suggestion.
Yeah, I'm thinking that any theorem that relates to I has already been done. It's like 10 years ago.
No, I cannot remember somebody proving this, so that's what I'm saying. There are many languages, so the other one would be to extend goal languages. You can look at what papers Jiching has written, and I have some directions where I can, which Jiching is not doing, which you can look at. What Jiching talks. Goal language, yes, specifying directives and so on. So there are interesting directions there, which. No, it's not so.
1 week might not be enough.
No. Feeding?
1 week might not be enough.
No, I decided October 15, right?
You said September 30th, you have to tell you what you do.
I mean, start talking about it. The final decision is made October 15th. September 3rd is when you start, by that time you must start discussing with me.
We're
very done. Huh? Yeah, you're already done. October 15th has to be finalized. Because I get you an idea about what direction you're moving. So I can give you feedback, like the way I said, if you do this, we've got this question and so on. So that takes 2 weeks time, that's why the September end was.
There's no translation from
A to
ADL.
It's a very straightforward. So that's not
no,
it's a place where you can do it in 1 hour, so that's not just the import.
And one of the ideas you gave was modeling from my environment.
Yeah, that's fine too. Modeling, if it is complicated enough, it's fine. No, if it's complicated enough, so I have to check. The project, you're going to get great at the end of it. So if you take something easy, then say, you've done it, but it's not too easy. So you don't want to take that risk. So Juhyang is actually teaching also SC or something, right?
Okay.
But I mean, will that last for the whole semester? Is that what you want to teach?
I mean, there is some project also.
Okay.
Teaching is almost done.
Oh, teaching is almost done? Yeah. Okay. So no teaching now?
There will be.
How many students are there in the class then?
Seven.
Okay. Who are the other? Are there anyone else from this class?
None.
From here, no.
Huh?
Nandi.
Nandi. Oh, Taiwan is there? Okay. Yeah, the C is basically, in the action thing, the Vladimir and his students, they focused on half of the representing act. So I have these three things, and the first thing, they focused on half of that, kind of. But they did very good stuff.
Three
things, right? Accents and effects, goals, languages, and execution languages.
Yeah, they only focus on first.
Yeah, they focus on first one, but we're going to study a lot more on the first one too. The sensing accents and the probability might. So those are the new other things. But C is a good language. It puts everything, a lot of things together. I am trying to do it, kind of how it was discovered. So you get a feeling of how it went there, not the final product.
Actually, I read Foster's paper before.
Okay.
The flip
thing. No, paper is fine. If you prove, as you said, that's fine.
Okay.
Anything valuable. Jericho? How's the Diamondbacks doing? Bad or good? Are you supposed to give me something to discuss, or what was the plan? I forgot. Which is the paper you are trying to attempt to write now?
Right now, I'm going to write the protein interactions related to this disease.
Like, you gave me some write up last time, right? Some plan.
Can you
bring that up? Which one you're doing now? Which one I told you to focus?
To focus on the
first
joint learning protein interaction related.
Did I give you some document that Louis made?
No.
Okay, let me send it to you. Yeah, just to streamline. Louis? Take this printout from Louis and then write things in this format. So problem statement,
okay.
Why is it important, status of related work, okay. And little more, then what is our approach, why our approach might perform better, how to show our approach is better, where to submit, timeline. So,
okay.
So that way we are very clear on what we are doing,
okay.
And I can check with all of them. And in fact, basically, this is like the biological papers are like this style.
Uh-huh.
So we basically have to, and you need to elaborate on this Okay, so this is what we're going to do. So take this document, put it in Google Doc.
Okay.
With me, the same also in Google Docs. You know Google Docs?
No.
So it's just something you can share. Google document.
Okay.
You can share a document.
Okay.
And then keep adding to this,
okay,
as you. So whatever you know, keep adding it,
mm-hmm,
and so I can always check where you are at.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do.
So I will put the same thing on the Google Doc.
Google Doc and give me the make me as of the whatever it's called, share it with me.
Okay.
And that way I can see what is the status of which paper where. I think we should do all our papers like that, especially Word things. And I can then look whenever I have time, I look at what you are doing, and I can say I don't have to call you, send me paper or something. I can see where you're doing and when do you last change it.
Okay.
So I think it's a good way of progressing, because we have limited time and I can read the papers, so you can put citations in nicely.
Okay.
So put everything in Google Docs and with links. Any of these papers you have, put the hot links so I can check. I think that way, whenever I feel like I want to look at what Luis is doing, once in a while at home I think, and if it is handy I'll just check what is happening. Okay? In that format, and add more with this problem statement. I mean, why is it important, and effective expansion of keywords. It's kind of, you have to give me a motivation, so maybe a little more of what is the bigger problem it solves, because it becomes too smaller. So you have to say, okay, I'm going to use this for this. This will be, if it's this specific program, I'm going to use it for this. So there are many bullets in why is it important. This will be used for this and so on. And all this basically, when you put them together, becomes paper anyway. And that's what when the reviewers basically ask. These are the questions the reviewer wants to look at. So I think this is probably a good way to do things. It makes things very clear, especially the bio kind of papers it looks like. Because the style of the theoretical paper that we do is different.
Mm-hmm.
And this is different. Okay? So
I asked him.
You know, I asked him to make it. So for, because I want to look at every paper, I mean, you need to do that for every one of them.
Okay.
But start with the one which you are going to focus
yeah,
now.
I think I will start with this one.
But yeah, I mean, in case of Luis, I asked him to do for all of them a little bit so that we can decide which one to do.
Okay.
Because if you are, I mean, one key thing we are of having problem is to, if we cannot show our approach is better than others,
mm-hmm,
then people will not accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow, so that's why you have to answer this question: how are you going to show that your approach is better than the other one?
Okay.
Something you have to think about from the very beginning. You have to think, what will be my evaluation? How do I show that this is going to be better?
Mm-hmm.
What is my evaluation methodology?
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise people will not accept the paper. If we show this clearly, then it gets accepted. And that's why I looked at the reviews and so on, so that's where I came up with the questions, is that you need to answer these questions for this kind of papers.
Okay.
And I might add more questions later. But yes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me have this and this.
Okay.
This is for me or?
Yeah, this is for you. I printed two sets of copies.
Okay.
This is copy for you.
Okay, good. So that's fine. And Luis, put all your latest documents, I mean this one, and plus the ones where you do, where you compare all the five, six different things that you need to do. So put that document also. So all the, and then when you update, directly update in Google Docs. You don't have to write in a Word and just go directly there and update it. So that way every time it's updated, I mean basically write your papers there. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, because you're writing in Word anyway, and that will automatically convert to Doc.
Yeah.
You can export it to Word, so just directly put the papers there. Chocolate. Bye.